Race matters.
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 I'd like to acknowledge that we are broadcasting on unceded Gadigal land. This land has been in the hands of generations of Gadigal custodians for thousands of years before us, and it will continue to be in their hands long after us. It's a meeting place for sharing knowledge, stories, and song, and we are privileged to be a part of that storytelling today and every day at FBI Radio. I pay my respects to Gadigal elders, past and present. We're broadcasting from Redfern right now, the birthplace of black theatre in this country, and a site for resistance and resilience for First Nations peoples. We honour this in all the work we do and carry this into our conversation today.
You're listening to Race Matters. This is a show that explores the values and complexities of race, culture, and identity. I'm Sharika Halaludin.
And I'm Alicia Zell.
The normal things that we have been doing up until this point for 75 years hasn't led to much change, and we're actually going backwards. Wanting to connect with other people that are like feeling really numb and trying to recharge.
And it's important for those people like me to come out to use that power and privilege to support a side against genocide.
Especially as someone who initially started out as an ally to Palestinians, I think it's been like a massive betrayal on his part. And especially with his recent statement, the so-called ceasefire, I think it was just him looking to save face.
Resistance has to come from direct action.
It always feels like it's someone else's job, but like for me, I just couldn't sit back while this was happening. I think that, you know, 10, 20 years from now, when people ask me, you know, what I was doing when this was going on, I can say that I at least stood up. You know, I can say that, you know, when this global movement was happening, I was a part of it.
You know, don't stop talking about Palestine. I think that's the main thing. I think the movement has been as strong as it has been for a long time, and I'm really proud of people still like going with it, because usually these movements start and then after a few months they start to die off. But then I think the Palestinian movement this time around, with the current aggression, has been going really strong, and I think we just have to keep unrelentingly go at it.
Buses wheeze past, pedestrians slow their pace to read protest signs. Cars honk for Gaza in solidarity. Babies cry, Dami Falestini plays out of a tinny Bluetooth speaker. Students shout, long live the Intifada. You've just been immersed within the charged atmosphere of the picket held in solidarity with Palestine outside the Prime Minister's Anthony Albanese's office. Why have people taken the message right outside the PM's office? Albanese has finally come out and joined his Canadian and New Zealand counterparts, saying that a full-scale assault on Rafah would be catastrophic. Netanyahu declared a full-scale invasion of Rafah to be scaled on the 10th of March. This is amongst the relentless and ruthless carnage we have seen Israel unleash over the last few months. For the community, Albanese's words ring hollow when the reality is that this government has cut funding to UNRWA but refuses to cut military ties with Israel.
Since February 11, that's 14 days now, a 24-hour rolling picket has been sustained by the unwavering dedication and sacrifice of people from all walks of life. What began with just two of the original organizers, Sarah Sawish, a Palestinian activist, and Zhuja Bushewich, has grown into a thriving community set in outside the PM's office. This is an entirely grassroots organized movement involving Families for Palestine. And today we are honored to have Sarah and Zhuja join us in conversation about the collective power of staking a picket and how communal acts of care are an expression of resistance.
Ceasefire, we all want peace. We all want ceasefire. Ceasefire now. Ceasefire now. Ceasefire now. Ceasefire now. We all want peace. Take it from me, but I wanna be free. Just a kid trying to be, when will you cease? Yeah. From Gaza to Gattaca, we keep it radical. West Tony's morals, I think, are sabbatical. How did this catapult slinging my shot? Like it or not, I keep it factual. They killing kids, well, we kick it back and score. Tell me what gives. Are you not mad at all? This ain't gonna swim. I'm jumping in, I'ma be screaming like cannonball.
I see more from beneath the smoke than your dreams entail. Dreading hope, I heard their cries when the lights go out. Laughing once, they ain't breathing now. Missed some of dreams on which I've grown. Bleeding out, losing hope. My ancestry ain't once been wrong. You just a disease, don't call this home.
Say you'll fight our land, our right till the end of time, until we're all free. From the river to the sea.
Trying to be, when will you seize?
Say we're born equal, we're bombing our people. Take another life for some profit. Death in custody, another NECBA. While they're lining their pockets, vote for these so-called leaders who always betray us. I guess they're all puppets. Enough is enough with our death and destruction. We fight for peace, love and justice.
Fear no man but the one above it all. See none made of flesh could come and never harm me. No knife could scar me, no bullet could jar me. I fear the Lord, how could I fear armies? With that blood on your hands, I still do my dance. I'm singing my chants right here on my land. These my people worth their weight in gold. Come kill my buddy but can't take my soul.
Walk in solidarity, there is no apathy. On invasion day, break the chains, set us free. Speaking some equality, spite of the policy. Seers create another shared victory, yeah. Well, it's a cry for peace. Ceasefire in streets, tensions released. It's time to speak, no broken dreams. Let the war cease, we all standing free.
Say you'll fight our land, our right till the end of time, until we're all free. From the river to the sea.
The other hand ain't taking human life. Say democracy but giving no choice. Freedom of speech but silencing voice. Hypocrisy reaps, they bombing for peace. No water, no food, got nothing to eat. Actions speak loud, talking is cheap. Ceasefire now, may there be peace.
Yeah, many killed by your hand. Way more than you could understand. Even your kids see what you got planned. So I've got my fist up, get off their land. Put up a peace sign to confiscate. Yell out ceasefire, they take my pay. You can do anything to save your face. I got your name down in history's page.
Say our land, our right till the end of time, until we're all free. From the river to the sea.
Just a kid trying to be, when will you say
you can bring us our resistance justified? Can colonize our hearts? We won't be terrorized.
Fighting for stolen lands, you أنا أصلي إيدي عالكعبة ما بترك أرضي صهيوني ماسك مفتاحي في إيدي قلبي وسلاحي You better run جايين cowards with guns خايف نحرر هالأرض راجعين ولك هذا فرض
Yo 1788 so much pain 1948 ain't shit changed but the names peep the game play the same burn the demons down with flames they're pushing World War 3 for the profit sheet breaking our bodies can't break dreams 2024 beat the drums of war but we don't want your war
we won't watch why Gaza get bombed we all want peace but the war carries on for how long why do innocents children die did a mother have to cry did a father have to curse why news corps sympathize fears for lies but the truth is in the sky when there's nowhere to run and as the smoke clears up they did it to colonize it's genocide ceasefire
My name is Sharika Helaludin, and I'm here with Alicia Zhao, who outside of radio has been spending a lot of time outside of Albanese's office at the kibbutz, as it's now seen on Google Maps, where people are occupying to make a point and put forward their demands for an immediate and unconditional ceasefire, as well as a whole heap of other crucial points that our governments and our leaders are simply not paying attention to. Complicit in this genocide of Palestinian peoples. Alicia, you've been going to Albanese's office every other day. What's it been like?
Going to the picket has been a great source of alleviation during this time. They have endured heat waves and torrential rain and now are under the very heavy surveillance of the police. And Sarah, who has been the driving force of this picket, has been there every single day whilst being a mother, whilst caring for her family. She is a very staunch Palestinian activist and has family ties in Gaza as well. I chatted to Sarah earlier this week. We met up at the picket and walked up to the Marrickville Library together, and we were very privileged to be joined by her baby, Hassan, who you'll be hearing in the background. We began by talking about Sarah's family ties to Gaza.
We have two cousins with their family in Gaza. My family's from Jerusalem and Nablus and Yaffa. And our current family that is in Gaza have been in contact with us when they can, when they've had internet access or they've been able to charge their phones. They are in, I guess like everyone else, in a desperate situation to leave. They want to leave. They want to have safety for their children. And to listen to what they're experiencing and the people around them as well. They've got 35 people in one apartment. They're constantly hearing warplanes above their heads. The children aren't going to school. There's no food for them. One of their cousins was just going outside to throw out the rubbish and was hit by an airstrike and, you know, was martyred. And to see that none of the Australians that are living, Palestinians that are living in Australia, are being supported by our government is actually an embarrassment. It's a shame. They are contributing members to our society in so-called Australia. And the government has only offered biased support. So nothing to the Palestinian community. We have friends who've lost 60 family members in the last 5 months, and they've got to wake up and go to work the next day as business as usual and with no support. I guess, we're not left with any other option in terms of what to do, and we're sitting outside of Anthony Albanese's office in hopes that he'll come out to listen to his constituents. And we haven't heard anything from him. Mm. We've sent letters, we've sent handwritten letters, emails. There's been no action by our community leaders and government. The only people that have lended any support are members of the Greens. Anthony Albanese's party has just been, total silence to our community.
His utter neglect and hypocrisy is nothing short of committing war crimes. And you are a very staunch Palestinian activist, and a part of that resistance has been all the acts of care that have been a part of the picket. And I want to ask you how you see care as a part of the resistance.
I think growing up, I saw my community in a different light to what is shown in mainstream media and movies and TV shows. Arabs are always portrayed as terrorists, and that's been a reality for much longer than September 11th. And the narrative that Palestinians are terrorists has always existed since 1948. So I've always seen our families bond over food and looking out for one another and supporting each other and really going out of your way and not just thinking about yourself, that the safety of your community and their well-being is a part of your own well-being. Mm-hmm. So I grew up around family that really prioritized their community, their siblings, their immediate family and parents. And I think that's what we're seeing at the picket. We're seeing different cultures and many Palestinians coming together and sharing their stories, and they're coming together with culture and food, and there's a lot of crafting that's going on, and people coming together and really bringing to light that the narrative is not what is being portrayed, which I think is something really important at the moment, because we've seen a negligence from the media in terms of reporting what is actually happening in Gaza. The language that's used, and Anthony Albanese is complicit in that. The statements he's made in the media, the language he's using, continuously calling Australia a friend of Israel, continually saying anti-Arab, anti-Palestinian statements that are extremely offensive to our community. And my message to him would be that we're never going to forget, and we will never forgive. He has caused a lot of harm, and so has his government. Even Chris Minns, who's the Premier of New South Wales, has been complicit in framing the narrative that the oppressor is the victim and the victims are the perpetrators. It's really, really messed up. But we've witnessed it for decades. I know a lot of people have only maybe come around since October to see actually what I've had to do on a lot of unlearning. But for Palestinians living in Australia, this has been decades of experiencing anti-Arab, anti-Palestinian hate and discrimination. And it's very apparent that this government doesn't care for the people and has a very racist ideology. And there's a lot of lobbying that's happening from a small percentage of people that could possibly have more financial resources. But I do want to remind Anthony Albanese that we are power in numbers, and the people are uniting together from across all different community groups. We're seeing all of the Middle Eastern community, lots of religious communities coming together, all the queer communities coming in and supporting the actions that have happened over the last 4 months. There have been, every single day, there's been a protest or an action or a form of lobbying. And the system is falling for them. And I think that's really worrying if they are not worried about that.
Absolutely. On a personal note, it's been so moving to see people from all walks of life come together and stake their presence at the picket. And it is truly as a collective movement that we are stronger in fighting against this. What we're doing here is not an isolated action, and people across the world are holding hunger strikes. They are also picketing, or they're protesting in such a variety of ways. And I want to ask about sort of the legacy of resistance for Palestinian women and queers. How do you feel like this is a part of that?
When it comes to protesting, people have a lot to learn from the Palestinian resistance. The bravery of Palestinians in occupied Palestine, that protest is inspiring. Watching them protest when they don't have a right to protest. So the instant they protest or put their name out there, they are a direct, they will become a direct target from the occupying forces. Let's not forget about the 8,000 hostages held in Israeli prisons with no trial in military prisons. And just under 1,000 of those are children, minors under the age of 16. Palestinian prisoners have demonstrated hunger strikes for decades. That's a testament of what they are going through in being held as a hostage. There are minors who, you know, protest on the streets of the West Bank and who have been protesting the siege in Gaza that, you know, have either lost their lives, had open gunfire, have been tortured, have been held in solitary confinement and experienced a lot of violence, including sexual violence. There's a lot of pinkwashing of Israel and the occupation. So I think the queer community has really come in solidarity with the Palestinians, because it's all about intersectionality. And a lot of the parents in the group want their children to know about what's going on, especially the ones with older children that are quite aware. And they come with us to the rallies. They've been protesting outside Anthony Albanese's office every Thursday. They've been doing all the chanting, learning. So I think it's very important for them not to raise their children not being aware of what's going on and having those conversations and knowing that there are children, like the children know that there's children in Palestine living under occupation and that they don't have the same privilege as them. And it's beautiful to see that they can have that empathy for children they've never met before, and their children. And I think Anthony Albanese has a lot to learn from the young people that come to our rallies, and thinking if they're young people that can have that empathy, where is his empathy? And I'm sure that he has access to social media and he sees what's going on. And he's a founding member of Friends of Palestine. So we could all assume that he knows better about what's actually going on. and he needs to, I guess, listen to the constituents, but also remember who he was, and he was one of us, and he used to rally with the Palestinians. And he also used that card in terms of getting our community to vote for him. So he doesn't just get to choose when our community is there for him and then to turn his back on us. It was only just before the 7th of October that he was standing in our mosques asking the community to vote in favor of the voice. And I don't understand how he doesn't see the intersectionality in that. So if he's asking for the community to vote for the voice, and so he's understanding that the Indigenous community and the First Nations voice is important, how is he not seeing that for the Palestinians and the Indigenous Palestinians that have been under occupation for 75 years? We want Anthony Albanese to call for a permanent, an immediate ceasefire. We want Anthony Albanese to cut all diplomatic ties with Israel and to stop signing permits to allow the export of machines and weaponry to Israel produced in Australia. We want Anthony Albanese to reinstate the UNRWA funding that is vital for humanitarian aid to the people in Gaza. And we want adequate media coverage about what is happening in Gaza, but also about the Australian Palestinian community living in Australia that's received no support from the community. And also the framing and narrative that we're violent protesters, or even after a lot of the fake news was debunked and there was no anti-Semitism at our rallies, not one of them has made a statement, not Chris Minns, not Penny Wong, and not Albanese. And we also want support for Australian citizens with family in the West Bank and in Gaza. And immediately, every day he's wasting, are lives lost, innocent lives lost. And he has their blood on their hands. I honestly don't know how he sleeps at night.
We are fighting evil. We are tackling a very cruel occupation. And occupation is not only tanks or airplanes. Occupation is the mind, the soul. The occupation is damaging generations. I would say stealing their childhood by destroying the elementary nerve system of life. We are fighting this.
We've just been hearing from Palestinian activist Sarah Sawish talking about the 24-hour rolling picket line that's been happening outside of Albanese's office. That was Sarah on the demands that have been outlined by Families for Palestine. And if you are interested in following their work, you can follow them on Instagram, as well as showing up if you're able to insist that those demands are met.
Next, we're going to hear from another one of the core organizers of the picket, Zhuzha, who has been there almost every single day keeping this movement alive. We chatted about how this movement began and what it is to show up as a non-Palestinian mother and community member. Zhuzha, you are another one of the core organizers of the picket for Albanese's office. I was wondering if you could take us back to the moment of direct action when you decided to stake this picket.
It was a Sunday afternoon, and it was another hot day for the rally in Sydney. And I was particularly distraught that day, and I found it very hard to motivate myself to even go. And my family was there with me, and we were going to march as usual, but my mind was racing and really upset because, you know, the day before that, we found out what happened to Hind, a six-year-old girl that was trapped with her family, her then already dead family in a car, and how she met her end. and the two paramedics that were cleared to go help her who didn't make it to help her. And that was extremely, extremely upsetting. We all could hear her voice in the recordings. I felt really close to it. But we found out what happened to Hind, and we also knew that Israel announced that they were going to invade Rafah, and the situation was desperate, and I felt desperate, and I felt helpless. And this rally that I attended most of, I think I skipped one due to COVID, I couldn't do it anymore. I couldn't do another lap around the city and then go home and wait. I needed to do something more. I had written letters. I had signed petitions. I had made calls. I've spoken to people. I've joined unionists for Palestine. I needed to do more. And I just decided I'm going to go and sit outside Albanese's office with a sign. That was all I had. And I was desperate. And that's what I did.
I feel like these feelings of helplessness and desperation are certainly collective. And in the spirit of supporting each other, how can we as non-Palestinian people support their community and support the resistance?
The Palestinian community that has responded to this sit-in that I started out of desperation, this is who I am here to support, and will always center what they need and what their families need. And the safety of their families in Gaza right now is paramount. But it's also about our broader humanity. It is happening to Palestinians now. And it can happen to any other discriminated minority at any point. And we have the responsibility to take actions. And some people will be protesting. Some people will be blockading. Some people will put their criminal records on the line. If people want to come and join this picket, they absolutely should. If it's for 5 minutes, if it's for 5 hours, calm down. If your mindset is of, we need a ceasefire now, we need to stop a genocide, Australia can no longer be complicit, we need to take active steps to stop this, come and talk to people who think the same thing. Find a community that we have found in one another. It is like nothing I have ever experienced living in Australia for the past 15 years. The camaraderie, the love and the care that people show to complete strangers and newly made friends is remarkable, truly remarkable. And I every day I try to get through everything I need to get through to go back to the picket and check on people and be in the place where things don't feel so terribly desperate, where there's a little bit of comfort.
The picket has been such a strong force of community, and the love and care that has been nurtured in the past in over a week has been really moving to see. And I was wondering if you could speak more about sort of like the love and care and creativity that people have contributed to this movement.
It has been a lovely place of where people from all sorts of backgrounds come and share their skills and show love and commitment to the cause through whatever medium comes easiest and most natural to them. One of my friends, who's not a hugely a people person, dropped off a batch of cookies that were hand-decorated with watermelon designs and the flag. And they're... That's her way of showing her support. And some people come and make artwork on site. Some bring posters they've created to support the cause. People bring food that they've cooked at home that they wanted to share with others to show that they care. It's been a place where people who have probably never really participated in any kind of organized or grassroots events like this before come and find commonalities with others. last night a family came and this gentleman was truly trying to be composed, but I could tell that he was distressed, and he was from Gaza. His family was from Gaza. They were expelled during the Nakba, and he was telling me how upset he is every time he puts food in his mouth because he knows that people in North Gaza are starving. And he was telling me that he's a pathologist and he knows that there were only 5 pathologists in Gaza. And for the whole population of 2+ million people, there were only 5 of them, and 2 are dead. And 3 others are retired and not really working. And he was sad, but he could be with people who got it, who were going to have his back in this moment of vulnerability.
I certainly felt that when I was at the picket. It's a space that has been created in which people can feel vulnerable, and that all the grief and profound outrage that is felt, that the community holds space for that, and that is immensely... that is a source of alleviation in a way. The culture and all the love and care that has become a part of that is, you know, where we find strength and where we find connection. How do you feel more a part of this community, and what are the sort of like stronger connections that you formed throughout your time spent at the picket?
It is a space where people look after each other, and it's a space for mental ventilation. A lot of us have felt that there's nowhere to rest, that we can't rest at home because we are haunted by what we see on our phones and on the screens of televisions and our own thoughts. You don't even have to engage with the content anymore to have this ongoing imagery in your head of the atrocities that are happening, the genocide that's unfolding. And then we don't have any peace because we have to perform at work. And there are certain people who come to this picket who have been explicitly told at work that this is not a space for them to express their sorrow and that they have to keep it together. And so the picket is a place where you don't have to keep it together. And you can recharge your batteries on that community support that people are so generously extending. And you can go out there and fight another day of the challenges that, you know, not just the genocide that you're dealing with. And in some people's cases, people are losing family members. It's distressing for me, and I don't have anyone in harm's way in Gaza. There are people who come to the picket who have family, who are at risk all the time. But the picket provides you this place to just feel safe, feel seen, a place where you don't need to explain anything to anyone, and you can stop fighting with all the thoughts and all the heartless and indifferent approaches of others that you have to deal with in your everyday life. And yeah, you can recharge with people who care, and that space is so precious to me right now. And as much as I want Mr. Albanese to finally come and speak to his constituents, I am one of them. I want him to call for a ceasefire, but I also want to keep this space safe from the police interactions and from any bad will that might come from elsewhere, because I've seen how nourishing and helping it is to the community, to Muslim community that is feeling persecuted and at risk when they're outside in the world. And there's this community feeling that I want to preserve, and that safe space and that space of recharging of your emotional state that I want to preserve.
Government the following: 1, stop calling this genocidal Zionist entity as our friends and allies. Number two, impose practical measures, actual practical measures, instead of perfunctory statements on the state of Israel, to stop this genocide and to reinforce a permanent ceasefire, rather than influence of benign criticism. Number three, cut all economic and military ties with apartheid Israel. Pariah state should be and will be. Impose sanctions until the entire system of racial domination is dismantled. Number four, take responsibility, not as a politician, but as a human being, and immediately instate the honorable funding and grant consular assistance to Australian visa holders in Gaza and bring them to safety. Not depart this place until you meet our demand. The time of empty statements is over. This is a watershed moment. Salvage whatever is left of humanity in you and stand up for justice and equality. Because when this is all done and dusted, the Palestinian community in Australia will never forget and will never forgive. Palestinians in Palestine and the diaspora would never stop resisting.
We really want to encourage you to show up for this beautiful community, whether it's for an hour or a whole shift or even just like 10 minutes. Your presence makes a difference. So please show up.
Alongside supporting Families for Palestine, always, always, always deferring to what's happening on the ground in Palestine as the onslaught and genocide continues. Support the resistance, amplify Palestinian families who are in the camps and in the grounds in the beating heart of Palestine. We will never forget Palestine and it will never die. That is all for Race Matters this week. I'm Sharika Helaludin.
And I'm Alicia Zell.
You can listen back to episodes of Race Matters at fbiradio.com/racematters, where we'll also link the details of how you can support Families for Palestine, including joining their roster or ways that you can show tangible acts of support for them. Did you want to say anything, Hassan? Can you say free, free Palestine?
Free,
free Palestine.
Palestine. Yeah. Is there anything you wanted to add? Just any concluding
words?
Okay. Thank you so much for your time, Hassan. It was such an honor to talk to you. Thank you so much.
Race matters.
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 Race matters. Race matters.